إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu ordered us to be grateful to him and to express that gratitude. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ibrahim, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّا عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Verily, when the slave is grateful to me, I will increase my blessing. And those who are ungrateful, they should be warned of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began his kalam with the kalimat of shukr, where he said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and all thanks are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who is the Rabb, who is the creator, the sustainer, the maintainer of all that he created. Rabbul Alameen of the worlds. I remind myself and you always and always and always to be grateful and make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for whatever he has given us. When we think of shukr, we can generally think of things in a, or we, most of us, we generally think of things in a material way. Lives are so materialistic that we seem to think only of material things. Now, of course, nothing wrong with that. If we are grateful, we are grateful, alhamdulillah. And if you are grateful for your wealth and your health and whatever Allah has given you, there is nothing wrong with that and one should be grateful. But I remind myself and you that far more important than material wealth are the non-material things, the things which we tend to ignore. And the first and foremost of them is Iman. What is the actual value of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? I cannot describe for you what is the actual value of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So I take refuge and take the help of the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a man will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. And when his books of deeds are put on the scales, on the mizan, he will have his entire books of deeds filled only with masiyah, only with sin. No good. Absolutely nothing. And so the scale will be, one pan of the scale will be on the floor, filled with his books of deeds, of all the masiyat and all the sins that he committed. And the other pan is high in the air. The man will be asked, do you have anything you did, any good deed you did, any good thing to put in the other pan? The man will say, I have nothing. The man will say, I have nothing. But then it will be said to the man, you have something, put it there. The man will say, what? I have nothing. He said, no, you have something, put it in that pan. The man will say, I have nothing. So it will be given to him in his hand, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it will be a piece of paper which will be given to the man, and he will be told, put this piece of paper in the other pan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the man puts that piece of paper in the other pan will slam down onto the surface, onto the ground, with such violence and such force, because of the weight of what has been put in the pan, that the book of deeds of masiyat, the books of deeds of sins, will fly up in the air. And what is this piece of paper? That piece of paper has only this one line written on it, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to appreciate the value of this kalima. What is the value of this kalima? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, he said that the one who says or recites this kalima with ikhlas, with sincerity, will enter Jannah. He said, the one who recites this kalima with sincerity will enter Jannah. The Sahabas asked, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them for the questions they asked, because that is how we have the explanation of our deen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The Sahaba asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is sincerity of the kalima? Because he said, the one who recites this kalima, who says this kalima with sincerity will enter Jannah. The Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the sincerity of the kalima? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the sincerity, the ikhlas of the kalima is that it keeps you away from haram. I remind myself and you to always see and recognize and appreciate the link between the aqidah and the amal, between the belief and the action. In Islam, it is not action without belief, and it is not belief without action. It is not sufficient to say, I believe, but then there is no action to support that belief. It is on this basis that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the salah, and he said that this salah, what did he say? He said, that is Quran. But in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this salah is, this is the ahadul ladhi bainana wa bainahum as-salah. The covenant, the line, the thing which separates the believer from the unbeliever is the salah. فَمَنْ عَرَضَ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. The one who has denied it, the one who refuses to pray, has entered kufr, has committed kufr. Now what is the basis? Why did he say this? Because the salah is the action, the manifestation of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. When we say there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and then the muazzin says, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, then we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I say, La ilaha illallah, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and when the time for salah comes, I do not pray, then with my action, I have denied my speech. I said that only Allah is worthy of worship, but when the time for worship of Allah comes, I do not pray, it means that I have, with my action, I have denied my Aqidah. Muhammadur Rasulullah is the way we pray. La ilaha illallah is the reason we pray. Muhammadur Rasulullah is the way we pray. This is how the whole kalima is linked to the salah. We pray because La ilaha illallah. And how do we express this? Through the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the actual action of salah. The actual action of salah is sunnah. Because what did he say? He said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. And the asbab of this hadith are very beautiful. There were a whole group of youngsters, young boys, a whole group of them. And there were a large group of them. They all came, and many of them came from distant tribes. They came and stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for several weeks in the masjid. And Rasulullah ﷺ taught them. And then the narrator of the hadith says that we were away from our families for many weeks. And some of us were feeling very lonely and very homesick. Not lonely, very homesick. And Rasulullah ﷺ sensed that. So he asked them, he said, are you homesick? They said, Ya Rasulullah, we have been away from our families for so long. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, then go back to your homes. And teach what I have taught you. And he said to them, go and establish salah. And in that hadith, he said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Go and pray as you have seen me pray. So the salah is the sunnah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for giving us a way of worshipping Him that He chose. If you look at the world, except for those who deny the existence of Allah, the atheists, everyone else, no matter which religion that person follows, is worshipping Allah. That is their intention, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though they may use some other name, they call something else and so on and so forth, but their intention is to worship their creator. But how do they worship? They worship in ways which they have invented, with the best of intentions. I mean, their intention is not bad, their intention is good, they want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they have invented their own ways. Some of them think that they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, only with minimum clothing. Somebody thinks that they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with no clothing at all. Even today, I mean, this is not only in the time of pre-Islam in Makkah, in Kaaba, where people used to make tawaf without any clothes. And their intention was good. They took off their clothes, not because they wanted to be, shameless. They took off their clothes. They said, these clothes are the clothes in which we committed sins. So we cannot go before God in clothes that we have committed sins. So we remove all the clothes and we go before God naked as He created us. There is always a logic. Shaitan creates some logic for what you do. Believe me, I mean, that is why I always tell people, when you say logic, don't just think every logic makes sense. No, it doesn't make sense. That is why you have revelation. Why do you have wahi? If everything is only logic, then you don't need wahi. So there is always some logic. So people worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many different ways. But none of them are the ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to be worshipped. What is the only way, the guaranteed way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to be worshipped is this which we did just now, salah. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in the Quran in two ways. One, He introduced Himself by describing His glory and majesty. In, for example, Ayatul Kursi, which you heard in the Salah this morning, in the Ayat of Suratul Hashr, in Suratul Ikhlas, and in many other places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described His glory and His majesty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also introduced Himself in terms of His blessings which He has given us. So that's another way of introducing Himself, which is also His glory and majesty, but He is drawing attention to how we take personal benefit from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He sends down the rain. Think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the rain in droplets, one drop at a time. Do you know that 1 inch of rain on 1 acre weighs 113 tons. 1 inch of rain on 1 acre weighs 113 tons. Imagine 113 tons coming down on you as one block. We will be smashed. 1 inch of rain and there is no life left because everything is gone. Putt. No, isn't it? I mean, Allah can send this, no? What is a tidal wave? It's a lot of water. 1 inch of rain, 113 tons. I ask myself, how many times did I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He sends down the rain, but He sends it down with khair, in a way where this rain gives us benefit and does not smash us. Same rain. How many times did we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can clip our nails? This is tissue. How many times did you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can clip our nails without any pain? Because this tissue, once it comes out from here, it is dead tissue. I don't advise you to do it, but sometimes accidentally we clip it a little bit inside, then how much it hurts. How many times did I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that I can shave my head, I can have a haircut without having to go under general anesthesia? Otherwise, think about that. Every time you needed a haircut, you would have to be hospitalized, go under general anesthesia to have a haircut and your nails clipped, because this would be living tissue. It would bleed. Your hair would bleed. And you would bleed to death if you didn't go under general anesthesia, and they cut your hair and they cauterize it and so on and make sure that you don't bleed to death every time you have a haircut. Every single day, every little thing that we live with and we experience, we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I always tell this story, and may Allah bless that boy who's today, he's a grown man with children. His name is Mamoon, lives in New York in Long Island. He was a little boy at the time of the story. I was in New York. I was going in one of the Tabligh Jamaats. And one day I gave a lecture, a bayan on sugar. So this boy was sitting in front and he said to me, "Uncle Yavar, I am grateful to Allah for my knuckles." You know the knuckles? The joints between the feet, between the fingers and toes. So when he said that, I first thought he is being funny, or you know, he's joking or something. So anyway, I didn't show any irritation. I said, "What do you mean by knuckles?" He said, "No, I just realized that I can open and close my hands without any pain, there's no problem. And how many times a day I do it? Can you count? I mean, how many times did you use your fingers?" Then I've used, I don't know, in a day, maybe 1,000 times, but alhamdulillah, there's no pain, there's no nothing. Knuckles. And I thought to myself, ask the value of that to somebody who has arthritis. We tend to take things for granted. A man came to say, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. When he was talking about sugar again, this man came to him and he said, "It's easy for you to say, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Easy for you to say, be thankful, be grateful." He said, "Look at me, what do I have to be grateful for?" He said, "I'm poor, I have got nothing." So the Umar asked him, he said, can you urinate without pain? He said, "Yes." He said, "Be thankful to Allah for that." And I thought to myself, ask somebody who has UTI, urinary tract infection. People stop drinking water and they get bigger problems, which is kidney failure, because of the fear of pain of urinating. They stop drinking water because if they feel, if I drink water, I have to urinate, and then it's like fire. And then they get into a bigger problem, which is kidney failure, because they are not drinking enough water. How do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many things do we have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for? I reflect on myself. Today I'm here, I went to see the horses of beautiful Argentinian polo ponies. I mean, this is like, for me, my whole life I spent on horseback. I mean, my entire childhood. I used to play polo, I used to, literally on a galloping horse, I would vault on and off. But today when I look at the horses, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm saying, I don't have boots, I don't have, I said, what boots, what hats? I have ridden horses bareback. But today, I mean, I can still ride a horse. Hopefully, I can stay on top, I think. But this is life. I asked for this chair not today, not because I want to look grand, but because this has a lower back support. The other one doesn't have lower back support. If I sit for a longer time, then my back, hurts a hell of a lot. So alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm still walking and talking and traveling everywhere and doing things. Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'm saying that This is the nature of the human being. We think and we realize the blessing only when it is gone. Practically all my life, I never had to wear glasses. Neither distance nor, for reading. And then when the glasses came on, now literally I tell my sisters, I say, no, everyone as far as I am concerned is in hijab. Because if I take my glasses off, I can't see your face. So, it's one blur. I mean, well, alhamdulillah, Allah has given glasses. What do you need? It's okay. So, if there is a problem, Allah has given a solution also for it. So, alhamdulillah. That is the key issue is this. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. All praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every condition that we might be in. Ala kulli hal. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afia. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessing and for His safety that He gives us. But every condition that we are in, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And that's why I want to remind myself and you, let us inculcate this in our lives, 100%. Teach it to your children, teach it to your students, your friends, family. Let not a ungrateful kalima, let not an ungrateful word or sentence ever come on our tongue. Today, unfortunately, this seems to have become a trend, especially with Muslims. Also with others, but Muslims. You ask them, how's the weather? Ah, too hot. Then 2 days later, oh, too cold. I mean, it's never good. La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. How's the food? For everything, there is a statement of complaint. Let us get out of this. Never, never, never complain. Whatever the situation, you say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today we live in a world, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect those who are suffering and those who are in trouble. You don't have to look very far to see people just like you and me, but in situations and circumstances which, may Allah protect us, you would not even wish those circumstances on your worst enemies. But there are people, they are human beings. Many of them are Muslim, if not most. They are in those circumstances. They are refugees in war-torn countries, they are all kinds of things and they are suffering and so on and so forth. Alhamdulillah, Allah has kept us free from all of that. Allah has kept us safe. Allah has given us izzah. Allah has given us the love and affection of people and so on. I am so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time I go to some place, countries I have never visited before, like Nigeria, the first time I am coming here. But literally from the minute I landed in Nigeria, this man was there. I mean, it's like, I see his face, I'm like, wallah, subhanAllah, I mean, this is, he went and parked us in one place and then he went and ran around and did whatever he had to do and then we came out of there and from the airport and mashallah, it's like, you know, somebody is like carrying us like this in his hands. This is Isa min Allah Ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts that love in the hearts of our brothers and sisters. I mean, who am I? I'm nobody. You didn't know I even existed. This is min Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I cannot thank Allah enough. And I'm not saying this to make you happy. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, you will be happy. I'm saying this because on the day of judgment, I want Allah and I want you to be witness that I expressed my thanks to Him Jalla Jalaluhu for what He has given. So always, 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 only thanks. I know that in life, there are also some difficult circumstances, something will happen and so on. If somebody says, what about that? Alhamdulillah, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Don't focus on that. I want to end with one very, something which somebody told me, very nice thing. He said, the plant you water grows. Simple as that. Said the plant you water grows. So choose which plant you want to water. You got a plant of gratitude, gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have a plant of ingratitude, thanklessness. Choose which one you want to water because the one you water will grow. And then let us not forget. Rasulullah said, the one who has not thanked the slave has not thanked Allah. The one who has not thanked the people has not thanked Allah. And that is the reason why it is very important. Yes, everything is min Allah ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to give it to you through somebody. Through your parents, through your teachers, through your friends, your relatives and strangers and whoever. Always, always, always express thanks to those people. This is one of the things that we see in Western countries. Yeah? Anyone, when we travel to the Western countries, one of the things that we see and we appreciate it is that everybody thanks. Someone opens the door, thank you very much. He gets out of the taxi, thank you very much. He gets into a bus, he's getting out, thank you to the driver. Whatever happens, people express thanks. So always thank people. Even though the people, like for example, the people who are serving us at table, that is their job, they are getting a salary, I agree. But you say thanks to them, because the way they are doing it, alhamdulillah, this is minallahi ta'ala. He's getting a salary, it's different. I'm also getting a salary, you are getting a salary for whatever work we are doing. But thank people for what they do for us. And always think of in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, high and low depends on piety and depends on, it is not, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Not on social status, but in our dunya, we have some people who are at a lower level and higher level. Think of those people who are at the so-called lowest level first. Because they we take for granted, the bigger people and so on, we will somehow thank them and so on. But people who are supposed to serve you, we take them for granted. Never do that. Always be grateful to them, thank them, look after them. Because that is what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all His thankful slaves. And to fill our hearts with thanks to Him jalla jalaluhu. And thanks to all the people through Him, through whom we receive His mercy and blessings. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us constantly aware of His blessings in every way that He gives those blessings to us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us always to be in a state of grace and a state of thankfulness to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, through whom we got this blessed and beautiful deen. And we ask Allah to keep us in a state where we remain in a state of appreciation for this deen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.